understood to be the deepest core of initiation itself. Here, at confirmation, you will grasp the certainty of your final goal, in which your lower nature will be sacrificed to your higher. After the third initiation, it is no longer possible for you to leave the path of initiation, even though you will inevitably still stray from it at times. This is a level of frequency in which you become used to more regular periods of contact with the higher vehicles. The pathway between the causal body and the mental body is well trodden, which means that simply by heartfelt invocation, you can now call upon grace. Portal 4, the fourth initiation, matrimony. The fourth initiation represents the higher octave of the first initiation of birth. Matrimony is a birth into a higher dimension. It is a spontaneous inner commitment that greatly widens the pathways of awareness inside your being. The initiation of matrimony or marriage is your first step into the collective way of life. In the Christian mystical traditions, matrimony represents the marriage of the seeker to Christ, a very deep level of commitment that actually led to the beginning of the monastic tradition. The modern cultural institution of marriage still contains many of the secret initiatic rites that mark this high stage of consciousness. The primary symbol of matrimony is the wedding ring, the emblem of sacred union and divine perfection. The fourth initiation marks the beginning of the higher life in which your primary focus is to incarnate the causal body fully onto the physical plane. This means that your life's work is now offered in service of the whole, and there is no difference between your work and worship. The well-known wedding vow, "Until death us do part," now becomes your living reality, and your only true beloved is the higher self of your divine consciousness. Externally, this period of your life story is usually marked by deep service to humanity, in which you are much concerned with improving the welfare of those less fortunate than yourself. You may recall that the causal body is the body of our enduring virtue, being the sum total of all that is good about us. After the fourth initiation, our lower nature becomes increasingly more organized by the causal body. Our sexual energies in particular are channeled into creative work of a higher nature. Just as physical marriage precedes the raising of a physical family, so this higher marriage can lead to a vast surge in creativity that can involve and awaken many others. It is of interest to note that it is not just individuals who move through the great initiations, but also entire species. Humanity has, in fact, passed through the fourth initiation during the past few hundred years. Our matrimony has vastly improved the state of the world in which we live. The steady growth of global awareness is outstripping individual greed. Politically, the rise in democracy and social justice has changed the face of the planet. Gradually, human goodness is moving us forward, even though news headlines do not often reflect this truth. To understand initiation, you must read between the lines, and you must feel the truth with your heart as much as see it with your mind. As a species, we are closer than we have ever been to the ideal of working together collectively as a single unified organism. Matrimony has many hidden meanings. It can refer to the marriage of opposites, of East and West, science and religion, the masculine and the feminine. Inside your DNA, it speaks of a fusion, an intense period in which the many opposites within your being mystically come together into greater harmony than ever before. In the analogy of the church, it is when you are singled out within the congregation and approach the high altar together with your betrothed. It is represented in the sacred geometry of the church by the crossing and the great side windows of the nave. the open arms of the church lying between the congregation and the choir. It is a place of expansion, where the body of the church opens out on both sides like two spreading wings. This is exactly what the fourth initiation denotes, a time in which you open your heart to the world and spread your wings to the winds of the Holy Spirit of grace. The fifth initiation, Annunciation. The fifth initiation flows naturally from the fourth, and at this level of expanded awareness, the initiations often follow each other in relatively quick succession, that is, within a single lifetime. Now that you are married to your higher consciousness, the next thing that happens is that you become pregnant. This is the Annunciation, the mystical announcement of the imminent birth of Christ. Much of the symbolism surrounding this fifth initiation is feminine in origin, flowing as it does from the third aspect of the sacred Trinity, the Holy Mother. On the lower planes, the feminine is expressed through the astral plane, the desire nature, and the emotions. At a higher level, this plane relates to the fifth, or Buddhic, body. At the fifth initiation, the exquisite emanations and refined currents from the Buddhic body begin to penetrate the lower astral nature. This is a deeply tantric phenomenon in which you experience the sublimation of your sexuality into pure spiritual essence. The Annunciation is a chemical phenomenon that saturates your whole being. Just as a woman during pregnancy is flooded with hormones, so you become aware that your body is being purified and cleansed in preparation for a greater inner event, the birth of Christ consciousness. In the analogy of the church, this initiation relates to the situation of the choir who preside over the altar and who represent the voice of pure worship of the Godhead. The connection between the throat center and the sexual center also becomes clear during this initiation. When a person spontaneously enters a higher ecstatic state that appears to be ongoing, it is a fair assumption that they are entering this fifth portal of the Annunciation. Many different mystical traditions speak of this magical time of higher pregnancy, in which the immortal fetus is gestating inside our solar plexus center. It is one of the great enduring mysteries of creation. In terms of the initiation of species, humanity stands at the threshold of the fifth initiation today. Even now, there are whispers in the air of a new form waiting to come into the world. Little do we realize that this form is gestating inside our very DNA. The timeline for a species to undergo any initiation is obviously very different from an individual, and for humanity, it may take many hundreds of years for the Annunciation to become realized. We are about to enter a time of great purification, in which the feminine spirit of grace will be working actively in the world. The fact is that as a species we have already been fertilized and are in the very first stages of pregnancy. Just as the body of a woman takes several weeks and months to register the changes externally, humanity will not become generally aware of the great change that is upon it for some considerable time. Only those who are sensitive to the subtler currents moving beneath the world of matter will detect the first signs of the new human that has now begun its period of gestation. The sixth initiation, Communion. The sixth initiation is the greatest experience a human being can have. It represents the zenith of our human development and the end of our evolution on the earth. The mystery of Holy Communion is the mystery of sacrifice. This is the full awakening of the Christ consciousness in a human vehicle, which requires the death of that which identifies with the principle of form itself. This stage is often referred to as enlightenment. The light referred to is the pure light of the sixth body, the Atmic body, which is born from within the Buddhic body and enlightens the lower three bodies. As it does so, it causes the causal body to dissolve, thus severing the link or bridge between the lower and higher worlds. In mystical terms, this involves the dissolution of the soul, that aspect of human consciousness that is drawn again and again into incarnation. Thus it is said that at the point of enlightenment, the indwelling awareness can no longer take incarnation and forever escapes the wheel of samsara or illusion. The initiation of communion also shares its name with the 45th Siddhi, which describes the great mystery of the taking of the sacred sacrament. The communion involves the direct imbibing of divine consciousness at the altar. In entering this field of frequency, you are transcending all sense of being separate from others. This is symbolized by the blood of Christ and marks the final breaking up of the karmic residues held in your DNA. For the grace of Christ to enter you, you must be willing to make the ultimate sacrifice, to give up your lower bodies and their desires, feelings, memories, dreams, and knowledge, and to be taken over by the greater being who has been waiting all along within you. To enter this great initiation is to die into the second aspect of the sacred Trinity, the Christ. The higher evolution and the seventh, eighth, and ninth initiations. The remaining three initiations are part of what is called the higher evolution, which lies beyond humanity and our human story. As such, they are difficult to describe in words, and certain binding oaths surround them in order to protect humans from their dangerous frequencies. These frequencies are no longer conveyable other than through sound or through direct transmission in silence. Even so, the higher evolution has always been known about, and fragments of truth concerning it can be found throughout human culture. In the Christian Church, the higher evolution is represented through the priesthood and its hierarchies. The seventh initiation of ordination has much to do with the notion of coordination, and these incarnations point humanity in specific new directions. It is through these beings that the higher secrets of initiation may be released. The presence of such beings in the world always precipitates a great shift in the consciousness of the whole planet. Interestingly, there are always five avatars present on the earth at any given moment. They form a unified force field that steers the balance of humanity towards evolution rather than destruction. The eighth initiation of sanctification is an extremely rare event on our planet. Initiations at this level are really beyond human understanding, as they have to do with the flow of essence from the seventh monadic body into the Atmic and Buddhic bodies. Although it does occasionally occur on an individual level, with spectacular results, the eighth initiation is a collective initiation that can only be taken towards the end of humanity's evolution. The ninth and final initiation brings an end to the story of consciousness. On an individual level, the ninth initiation can only take place through silence. In certain esoteric traditions, it is also referred to as the refusal. After this initiation, the indwelling awareness refuses to materialize and dissolves back into the primordial essence from which it was born. Tradition tells us that only a very few great initiates have taken the ninth initiation to date. It is during this final initiation that the first body and the seventh body fuse together. The physical form then ascends and completes its final great destiny. The new heaven and the new earth. One can see from the depth of its transmission that the 22nd Siddhi is difficult to describe in words. The reason for this is that you need to experience it in order to know what it is. Although grace is a word that is often used in spiritual circles these days, it should not be used lightly. Rather, it needs to be treated with the utmost respect. We have learned that grace has to be earned through graciousness. This is the great message of the 22nd Gene Key. To find graciousness in the face of suffering, and perhaps even to find something more, holiness itself wearing a disguise. If the 22nd Gene Key happens to be an aspect of your hologenetic profile, then the theme of grace will be very strong in your life, and you must not turn your face away from the pain life offers you. We are all here to be tested over and over until we show that our faith in nature herself can never again be lost. Grace is a presence that descends on humanity, and like all the Siddhis, it requires that we meet it halfway, which for us humans may seem a very long way. This is, after all, a perfected state in which everything about you and your life will be changed permanently. When true grace descends, it wipes out all your past karma in a flash. It also wipes out the karma of all your ancestors and all their ancestors. Grace softens your rough edges, puts a permanent end to your fear, and leaves you in no doubt whatsoever about your divinity. It also ensures that you never again forget. It is impossible to measure in words the sheer number of blessings that grace bestows when it alights on us. One who has been touched by grace is always touched by grace. If it happened to you 1 millennia ago in another universe or in another incarnation, it will never leave you. It will go on bathing you again and again. To be in the presence of someone manifesting this Siddhi is to be entranced by the aura of love that surrounds them. It is something you can never forget, and it will stir your own soul to seek it until you find it. Grace is the very breath of the divine. It is always there, waiting for us high above, if we only persist in our sacrifices. Wherever there is oppression, there is the possibility of grace. If you can face oppression with a gracious spirit and a forgiving heart, grace will come to you sooner or later. Grace is a feminine spirit, and she cannot resist giving herself to those who smile in the face of adversity. As we saw with the 22nd shadow, there is nowhere you can hide in this universe. Everything is heard and recorded. Neither can you hide from grace. Grace is your true nature. It is your inheritance. It is the soul of the world. It is also a state that is beyond the laws of our world. If grace touches you, you no longer create karma. If grace touches you, you no longer have your own destiny, but become a musical instrument tuned and played by the gods. With grace, all human emotion is instantly transformed into love. It is not a state with which most human beings are very familiar. As a species, however, we are moving into a new epoch that will be marked by grace. As each of the 7 seals is opened, the world we have become used to will begin to drop away. In its place will rise, shining and resplendent as the summer sun, the new heaven and the new earth that St. John talked about in his great revelation. Now that you have imbibed this profound transmission that is the 22nd Gene Key, it is recommended that you give it some time to digest within the many layers of your being. As a feminine spirit, grace calls upon each of us to listen and receive her message and blessings. Above all, remember this. Through grace, the universe has but a single wish, for you to remember that you are love and there is nothing in you but love. 23rd Jean Key. The Alchemy of Simplicity. Programming Partner, 43rd Jean Key. Codon Ring, The Ring of Life and Death. 3, 20, 23, 24, 27, 42. Physiology, throat, thyroid, amino acid, leucine. The 23rd Shadow, Complexity. Splitting the world apart. The philosopher Ludwig Wittgenstein once said, "You cannot think something unless you can talk about it." What he was suggesting is that thinking and language appear to be inseparable. The 23rd shadow directly concerns the connection between thinking, knowing, and the expression of that knowing through language. As a functioning, or indeed malfunctioning, of our genetics, the 64 shadows govern humanity in different cycles. This is to say that at certain points in history, a specific shadow will appear to suddenly dominate the human species, whilst at other times the same shadow will appear to lie relatively dormant. As each aspect of the shadow consciousness rises into prominence, history is written accordingly. The overall direction of the evolution of humanity is governed by these regular inner cycles and impulses that emerge from within our DNA. The 23rd shadow is one of the most potent contemporary shadows driving humanity in our present postmodern age. It is the shadow of complexity. Complexity is the result of the human mind trying to control its environment. The more humans try to use their minds to create a feeling of security in the world, the more complicated and unsafe the world becomes. At an individual level, this shadow creates misunderstanding and division in two different ways, through individuals saying the wrong things and through saying them at the wrong time. This human trait has been around for as long as language has been around, and it is responsible for some of the most horrendous events in human history. Some of the bloodiest wars on our planet have begun because of a few simple misconstrued words. When the Buddha introduced his great teaching, known as the Eightfold Path, he spoke of right understanding, which leads to right speech. He hit upon this great and simple truth, that language flows directly out of your state of consciousness. The more profoundly you understand and embrace the shadow, the freer of it you become. The challenge within the 23rd shadow is found in its programming partner, the 43rd shadow of deafness. The 23rd shadow represents an overwhelming human urge to express yourself. Coupled with the inability to hear either yourself or others, this creates a lethal cocktail. One of the great problems for individuals is to communicate clearly with others. Hearing yourself means being aware of what is going on inside you. If you have no such self-awareness, then you are also unable to really hear what is going on outside you, which means that you will not know how to relate to others. Language is immensely powerful as a medium for stirring up the volatile human emotional spirit. Whenever this 23rd shadow speaks, it complicates the situation, which in turn catalyzes an exponential process of misunderstanding that can soon escalate from a mental process to an emotional one. The fear beneath this 23rd shadow is of meeting intolerance and being excluded by others. Ironically, this very fear drives the behavior that manifests the fear. The difficulty for the 23rd shadow is that it tends to make human beings know that they are right, which firmly closes the door on their being open to the views of others. This is where the deafness comes into play. In conversation with someone strongly influenced by this shadow, they can seem like a stuck record. They simply cannot give you a straight answer to a question. You can even ask them specifically to answer in a single word, and they cannot do it. There is an unconscious assumption on their part that you are somehow inside their head with them and understand everything they are thinking with crystal clarity. Because of this pattern, you often have the feeling that such people are simply talking at you rather than communicating with you. This generally causes the listener to feel physically uncomfortable and back away or try to interrupt the stream. Either way, the situation can become agitated and complex when a misunderstanding could have been easily avoided. Within this 23rd gene key lies a secret of timing. Because the 23rd shadow concerns the way in which your brain translates thoughts into linguistic patterns, it is through this gene key that all manner of speech difficulties can occur, from verbal diarrhea to dumbness. Such problems are rooted in the subtle timing mechanism hidden within speech and language. Human speech is made up of many layers of intonations with spaces in between. Even though your brain may hear the language inside your head, translating that to the vocal cords is another matter. How successful this process is depends upon your overall level of frequency. If you are caught in the victim patterns of the shadows, then the process of translation slightly misfires, as though a code has been copied incorrectly. This leads to a language pattern that is not harmonized to the situation or listener. This process of timing and mistiming happens at a level well below your conscious awareness. It is not the words themselves that cause the static between the speaker and the listener, but the subtle cadences of intonation itself. There are people who can give speeches in the most engaging language, but which actually make no sense to the audience whatsoever. The gift of communication does not lie in the speaker's linguistic skills, but somewhere much subtler, in the speaker's heart. If even the subtlest trace of fear drives your speech, then that speech can never be fully imbibed by the listener. However, when someone speaks or writes from their heart, you will understand the gist of what they are saying, regardless of how they say it. Conversely, when you read or hear something that leaves you feeling cold, you are probably hearing someone's deep-seated fear. People driven by the 23rd shadow speak in order to gain approval or recognition, and this always, without exception, sets them up to be misunderstood. At a collective level, the misfiring of human language patterns has led to intolerance and schisms. It has, in fact, led to organized religion. All the major religions have evolved from simple language patterns spoken by individuals in the now, which were then mistranslated by others who were not physically present when the words were spoken. As an example, the words of Christ are beautiful in their pure simplicity, but the hundreds of schisms caused by their many different interpretations have transformed the original simplicity into something incredibly complicated and ultimately ugly. The moment someone speaks out of a frequency of fear or anger, even the most beautiful sounding words can become dangerous and divisive. It is easy to see from this shadow why the ancient Chinese referred to the 23rd hexagram of the I Ching using the phrase splitting apart. It is absolutely true that the frequency of this shadow does cause human beings to distrust each other, driving us further and further apart and creating more and more complexity and fragmentation. As was suggested earlier, the 23rd shadow of complexity is responsible for our planet becoming more and more unsafe. Ultimately, however, this splitting apart has a hidden goal, to make human beings aware that they are the cause of their own suffering and in time to bring about the gift of right understanding. Repressive nature. Dumb. In a repressive nature or society, the expression of the 23rd shadow will rarely be tolerated. Wherever you see societies that keep others silent, you are seeing fear at work through this shadow. Depending on how acute the level of fear is, the individual or group will probably never express what they really think. Language will be held back, either through internal repression or external oppression. It is interesting that the modern meaning of the word dumb has come to refer to a lack of intelligence, because that is often how such people are perceived. If you are choked by fear, you cannot speak clearly, if at all, and so these people slowly learn not to say what they really think, instead lapsing into silence or superficiality. This is particularly true of children who have very oppressive parents. Reactive nature, fragmented. The other side of this shadow is the expressive nature, which often cannot stop talking. However, because there is a general mistiming within their neurology, they create enormous interference and fragmentation wherever they go. These are people who always say the wrong thing, or they say the right thing but at the wrong time. The language pattern of such people tends to overcomplicate and miss the essential meaning of things. They spend an enormous amount of energy trying to be heard, only to find that they are constantly pushed away. These people tend to talk in circles, over-explaining everything in an unconscious attempt to conceal the anger that lies within them at not being understood on a much deeper level. The 23rd gift, simplicity. The noblest truth. One of the hardest things for most modern human beings is to live simply. Sometimes simplicity is even considered synonymous with stupidity. Actually, the lower the frequency of your genetics, the more complicated you will tend to make things. The reason for this is the human mind. The mind does not trust simplicity because it thrives on complexity. The more complicated something is, the more the mind can think about it. So when we come to this 23rd gift, we are learning one of the great secrets of a happy life. Keep it simple. The 23rd gift abhors clutter and jargon. It communicates precisely, clearly, and with great economy. The power of simplicity is to create efficiency wherever it goes. People exhibiting the gift of simplicity waste nothing in life. Their living areas usually reflect their thinking, with plenty of open space and room to breathe. They are able to cut through all the dross and get straight to the essential point. Simplicity is a state of being, an attitude towards life, and as such, it cannot really be taught. It takes great sensitivity to be this simple. It is more of a knack, an aura, even a love. If you love simplicity, you will manifest it around you. The gift level of frequency is a clearinghouse for the process of preparing you to realize Siddhic awareness. As such, the 23rd gift is an ongoing process in which more and more clutter is gradually removed from your inner and outer life. As your mind clears, spaciousness opens inside you, allowing you to see things with great clarity. Another manifestation of this frequency is a slowing down of your internal system and a gradual lessening of your need to resolve everything in your life. Emotions are allowed to follow their natural course, thoughts begin to have more gaps between them, and physical impulses are either observed objectively and dispassionately or are indulged without guilt. Everything inside your nature begins to become clear. The many problems of your life are seen as phantasms, created by your mind acting upon your desires. You naturally begin to turn within and contemplate your own essence. A good metaphor for simplicity is flying an airplane through and then above the clouds. In the clouds, the mind finds only complexity, and it goes around in circles, trying to find the way out. In these lower frequency clouds, you pick up static all the time. At higher levels of frequency, your mind sees further and more clearly. At the level beyond the clouds, the world mind is left below, and you begin to move into more silence. This 23rd gift and its programming partner, the 43rd gift of insight, are deeply connected to the acoustic field of sound. These two gifts are about clear hearing and clear translation of that hearing. On an inner level, clear hearing really refers to knowing. We noted in the 43rd shadow that there is a theme of deafness underlying these two gene keys. As your frequency rises, however, this very deafness becomes an ally because it acts as a truth filter. Through the 23rd gift, you hear only the essence, and all extraneous low-frequency noise is edited out. As part of the marvelous codon ring known as the Ring of Life and Death, the 23rd gene key captures the very same insights that were left for humanity by Gautama Buddha. The beautiful simplicity of the Four Noble Truths and the Eightfold Path, the wisdom left by the Buddha, reflect the secrets of this codon ring. Through the third gene key, we see that all life is change and is thus subject to cessation. Through the 20th gene key, the Buddha discovered that all truth lies in the awareness of the present moment. The 24th gene key describes a continual process of rebirth and the wheel of samsara. The 27th gene key speaks of the essential moral code of goodness lying in the heart of humanity. And the 42nd gene key teaches the power of detachment. Once you have discovered each of these secrets in your life, you will arrive at a point of beautiful simplicity in which the higher level of the 23rd gene key, the quintessence, is seen as the center of centers, lying deep within your belly and your being. Enlightenment comes only through this deep immersion in the core acceptance of life and death. To be around someone exhibiting the 23rd gift is a wonderful and powerful experience. Things that you thought were problems somehow dissolve in their presence, and through their insight and clear language, difficult things become easy. Above all, you begin to relax physically in their presence, and as this occurs, the mind lets go of its need to constantly resolve complexities. Simplicity is deeply practical in the material world, and these people are often very good at handling money. It is not that they know how to make money, but they know where not to waste it. They are not tight in any way, but they find the simplest solutions to things. They are masters of efficiency in that they can come up with highly original yet utterly practical ideas that lead to quantum leaps in productivity. The 23rd gift does not look at things in a logical way, nor would you describe it as artistic or abstract. It simply knows things spontaneously, without knowing where the knowing came from. It is the essence of genius. The quality that most often accompanies this 23rd gift is playfulness. Although this can be a very intense gift, it is not a serious one. These people think in very lateral ways, not in the normal way in which we understand thinking. They observe silently until the solution jumps into their awareness, at which point they can communicate it effectively and beautifully. The combination of all these traits makes them wonderful teachers. A final aspect to mention about this 23rd gift is its incredible sense of humor. The way in which this gift operates can give rise to hilarious spontaneous expressions that in some way capture the essence of a person or a particular moment. These people are so on the ball. Because they do not plan what they are going to say, they often take everyone by surprise. At lower frequencies, this trait can cause hurt and rejection. At a high frequency, however, it usually causes laughter or awe. It is all a matter of frequency. Above all, people operating out of the 23rd gift are wonderfully clear communicators and advisers. Their true genius lies in the economy of their language and the originality of their expression. Theirs is the noblest truth of all, the gift of simplicity. The 23rd Siddhi, Quintessence, the Buddha Fever. At its highest level, the 23rd gift gives way to the Siddhi of Quintessence. Quintessence is a word that derives mainly from ancient and medieval philosophy. It refers to the so-called magical fifth element, or ether, that was believed to be inherent in all things. At the level of the 64 Siddhis, words are vibrations rather than words with single specific meanings. This word, quintessence, carries secrets within it that give us many clues about the highest aspect of this 23rd gene key. The 23rd Siddhi has an alchemical flavor to it. At a metaphoric level, this refers to the ability to extract gold from base metal, the goal of all alchemy. Therefore, people of this Siddhi are able to touch the gold hidden within other human beings. They can transmit the power of the awakened state through a word or a look or a gesture. This is the Midas touch. Every person has a unique key that opens them to higher states of consciousness, and the people of this Siddhi hold all the keys. They do not necessarily know that they hold the keys. They simply respond spontaneously to each person, and in so doing, they touch the core of that person. These are highly unpredictable people. As the ancient Chinese name for this archetype suggests, this Siddhi is about splitting people apart. At the frequency of the Siddhis, thought is revealed for what it is, atomic energy. Every thought that is not absolutely necessary instantaneously undergoes a process of nuclear fission. It splits apart and releases its pure organic energy into the physical aura of the being. At the highest frequency, this splitting apart refers to the separation of your inner essence from the illusion of your separateness. Anyone in a siddhic state undergoes a process of alchemical transformation. In the earlier stages of the siddhic state, your physiology undergoes a deep genetic transmutation. This change is caused primarily by the fallout from the splitting apart of your thoughts. The entire body often undergoes a period of profound physical sensation, sometimes experienced as pleasure and sometimes as pain, whilst the continuity of your thinking is destroyed. Once the dust has settled, what remains is the quintessence, consciousness itself speaking or acting through the shell of the personality. This is the true explanation of the secrets hinted at by alchemy, that the physical body itself contains the seed of the siddhic consciousness. It is concealed in your DNA and controlled by a hidden timing mechanism that is utterly spontaneous and out of your individual reach. There is no way for you to trigger this event because it lies beyond the reach of your mind, and anything you try to do to encourage the event actually gets in the way of your natural process. In the same way that the 23rd shadow unconsciously blurts out its inappropriate expression, so the higher consciousness suddenly and unexpectedly detonates within your body. Because your awakening is a causal, in other words, beyond human intervention, there can never exist a technology of enlightenment. Enlightenment is beyond the grasp of technique, lying thankfully within the realm of eternal mystery. The 23rd Siddhi represents the transcendence of the right-hand path and the left-hand path. This is why the Buddha has referred to it as the middle way. The left-hand path is that of science, which can only go as far as paradox, the absolute limit of scientific or logical thinking. The right-hand path is that of the artist or poet, and although this path comes closer to the center than the scientist, it too always falls short. The poet moves beyond the mind and strives to approach the mystery through his or her heart. But heart and soul are bound by the limits of their own longing, and even though they may taste the center for short periods, they fall short of the ultimate. The third way is that of the mystic, who neither takes the path of seeking nor the path of longing. The mystic enters bodily into the mystery itself, not seeking resolution or acting out of a thirst for truth. The mystic holds such a deep respect for the mystery that he or she has no agenda or need to understand it, but simply revels in the mystery of the ultimate, drinking it in through the pores of his or her being. Only the mystic can extract the quintessence from the ultimate. He or she simply enters the narrow gate in a state of wonder. The sheer beauty of the ultimate realization is that it is always discovered by mistake. After realization has occurred to someone, they can see that there are simple conditions for awakening, and, like the Buddha, they can point out the exact nature of those conditions. However, the awakened one also knows that these conditions must come about in their own way, rather than becoming synthetic goals or targets for future seekers. Herein lies the dilemma of the awakened one. How many people will be led astray by the teachings, and would it be better to say nothing? But if just one person intuitively grasps the Dharma, teachings, then it will be worth all those who have gone astray. The real power of the 23rd Siddhi is therefore in its direct transmission in the flesh. The words that emerge from this Siddhi are phenomenally potent at the moment of their utterance. Once the 23rd Siddhi has fully dawned inside a person, they become an alchemical agent. Like quicksilver, they bind themselves to people and find their way into the cracks within their mental structure. Around such a person, you will undergo a series of spontaneous simplifications as the continued presence of their aura slowly begins to extract the quintessence from the dross placed within you by your culture and conditioning. As a recipient of this vibration, you will inevitably go through a complete deconstruction, which may be very difficult for you. Like all such alchemical processes, it can be extremely dangerous to your mental health unless you complete the entire process. This 23rd Siddhi is custodian of a sacred truth. Trust your own inner path before any external teaching or teacher. In the case of the Buddha, many millions of Buddhists have followed his teachings, and very few have been able to read between the words and extract the living quintessence. However, the truths left by the great masters are far easier to embody than your mind believes. To follow the mystical path is to surrender utterly to that which is within you, no matter where it leads you. The middle way is not, as it sounds, a delicate path threading between the opposites. It is a path of complete abandon that is formed as each foot falls before you. It is a path sculpted from the void, untrodden by anyone before you, and therefore without law, rhyme, nor reason. To walk this path, you will have to dig deep within yourself and revel in that true quintessence that only you can recognize. This is the Buddha fever. 24th Gene Key. Silence. The Ultimate Addiction. Programming Partner. 44th Gene Key. Codon Ring. The Ring of Life and Death. 3, 20, 23, 24, 27, 42. Physiology, neocortex, amino acid, leucine. The 24th shadow, addiction, the great genetic glitch. The 24th shadow, when correctly understood, explains much about the shadow state itself, as well as why human beings find it so difficult to resolve the deeper repetitive problems in their lives. This is the shadow that keeps the psychology profession in business, and it is the shadow that big advertising companies take full advantage of. We humans come pre-programmed for addiction, and the main culprit responsible for this is our minds. A well-known urban myth states that we only use a very small percentage of our brains, but any neuroscientist will tell you that this is untrue. In an average day, we use almost all of our brains. It is not how much of our brain we use, it is how efficiently we use it. As it stands today, the human brain is still such unexplored territory for consciousness. The way in which you use your brain is determined by your genetics, so that some people think more logically and others more laterally. Let's compare the circuitry of the brain to the 88 keys on a piano. We could say that the piano keys offer almost infinite potential for creating music and melody. However, in the case of our brains, we tend to find the tunes that we like and play them over and over. Many people don't really think for themselves at all, but have learned conditioned patterns from their parents and their environment, and keep following those patterns their whole lives. Of course, everyone uses their brain all the time, but it is relatively rare for someone to find an entirely new way of thinking. Synaptic routes within the ganglia of the brain become as trodden and familiar as public pathways, and the 24th shadow works hard to keep it that way. The mass consciousness of humanity is still dominated by the archaic fear and survival-based aspects of our brain. This fear is a powerfully pervasive force within the chemistry of the human body. The 24th shadow creates a low-frequency rhythm throughout your whole being, and this frequency prevents you from thinking outside your comfort zone, which exists on a physical, emotional, and mental level. We generally follow the same predictable paths in our external lives that our brains follow neurologically. This gives rise to the phenomenon known as addictive behavior. When we talk here of addiction, we are not talking about specific psychological disorders, but of an entire human behavioral code that is so self-limiting it does not recognize its own addiction. The fact is that all modes of thinking are addictive. You can be a left-brain addict or a right-brain addict, and you will be equally addicted. The only thing that breaks addictive thinking is silence, real silence. As we shall see, it is silence that gives birth to the 24th gift of invention, the art of thinking and acting in totally original ways. Every cycle of addiction has natural gaps within it, and human beings experience these gaps in awareness. They can occur at any time, and they confront you directly with your own suffering. At such times, you will generally feel a profound sense of emptiness that is deeply uncomfortable. Our general response to these gaps in awareness is to try to avoid them, either through numbing ourselves or distracting ourselves. The shadow of addiction ensures that people don't really change. Even though we may seek new ways of being, we usually end up following our addiction on the outside and never changing on the inside. You only have to look at a person's actions in the world to see whether they are living in a state of addiction or the higher state of invention. If they are influenced by the shadow state, there is always an anxious part of them that never seems to rest. Even though they may make cosmetic changes in their outer life, they never create anything substantially original. This pattern also tends to play out in their relationships, where they often find themselves repeatedly reliving the same scenarios without realizing why. Even if they change the outer relationship for one that promises to be completely different, the same tactics show up again, manifesting an inner neurological patterning that they seem unable to escape. It is important to understand the mechanics of the shadow of addiction in order to find the root of this deepest of human suffering. One way to enter into this mystery is using the model of the Corpus Christi mentioned in the 22nd gene key. The Corpus Christi refers to the seven bodies, layers or sheaths of a human being. To really understand the mechanics of your suffering, you have to consider the three densest bodies and their relationship to each other. The physical, the astral, and the mental. The root of human suffering is wired into your DNA in the physical body, the very densest body of the seven. It is the primal sacred wound running throughout humanity, and its single purpose is to eventually trigger your awakening. The next body to the physical, in terms of vibration, is the astral body, out of which all your desires emerge, your sexuality, emotions, longings, cravings, and feelings. Whereas the physical body simply has essential needs, such as food and warmth, the astral has cravings, which are inessential to survival. The primal wound is our perceived separation from the totality, and the astral body responds to this wound through desire. All desires are really rooted in a single desire, the desire to escape the suffering caused by the primal wound and return to the pure state of unity. If you could look deeply enough into this desire without acting on it, it would actually burn itself out, which is the underlying purpose of meditation. The next aspect of the story of your suffering is found in the mental body, the mind. Your mind reacts to the desires of the astral body and tries to think its way out of suffering. Addiction begins in the interaction of these three lower bodies. Your mind builds images, stories, and projections around the desires of the astral body, which set you on an addictive course of behavior aimed at relieving the suffering. Because the mind functions across time, its main tendency is to base hope of happiness on the future rather than accepting the real conditions of the present moment. The external civilization designed by humanity feeds the mind's strategy of trying to escape suffering and find happiness in the future. It is designed by the shadow, for the shadow, which is why it is so challenging to transcend the shadow consciousness in everyday life. Nothing external can bring an end to your suffering, since it is rooted deep within your DNA. Only when you turn inward and look for the source of your suffering will you finally face the addictive quality of your own mind. The programming partner of the 24th shadow is the 44th shadow of interference, which is responsible for the dysfunctional relationships that occur across our planet and which are the current norm. This dysfunction is the byproduct of a universal glitch in the genetic operating system of humanity and is reinforced by the 24th shadow. Addiction is the constant replaying of the same perceptive frame with no pause between frames, and this is what happens at a synaptic level within the brain chemistry of an average human. Like mice in spinning wheels, we simply reenact the same scenarios over and over without realizing what we are doing. The question then is, how do you escape the wheel of addiction and reset the program to run without the glitch? The full answer to this question lies within the 24th gift. But in a nutshell, the very realization that you are in an addictive pattern begins to shift the programming of the 24th shadow. Your willingness to confront your mind creates the necessary pause between the frames, allowing the mental body to disentangle itself from the astral body. When this happens, Then, for the first time, the astral body and its cravings are no longer fueled by the grasping of your mind, and you go much deeper into the source of your suffering. You